now. Like, I'm learning to love this body. I'm learning to love all the imperfections, and, you know, the gray hairs are showing up. Like, I'm loving the fact that I'm aging is a gift. Like, I'm learning that now, but I wish I could have told my younger self then to, because it felt so foreign then and still feels foreign now at this age, as it, even though I've been working on it for a long time.
Welcome to the Relationship Psychologist Podcast.
Tune in every Thursday to learn with us as we interview experts.
And laugh with us as we banter about friendship.
And take action by implementing the tools and advice we provide to you each week to level up your personal relationships.
I'm Dana Mullen.
And I'm Alicia Hinger.
We are soul sisters, besties, and psychologists on a mission to change the culture of relationships.
Your journey to becoming more supported and connected starts
right now. Perfect. Welcome, welcome. I'm excited about today because it's your birthday.
Oh my God. It's like it's one of those weird numbers where it feels like when I was a kid, it felt like that's an old, like 50 is like old, but now I'm like, oh, it's not a, and actually that it's also like a blessing. Like, I'm grateful to age. I'm grateful to live long. Like, I'm grateful for, you know, and it doesn't seem that old. Like, I feel the same as I felt like 20 years ago. I kind of felt like, other than joints hurt a little bit, but other than that, I feel the same. But it's a weird number.
It is the number, Leash, I feel like, because, and you look like, to me, I mean, I feel the same way. I still feel like I'm 23, but you don't look 50. Like, it's funny when I showed my daughter who's six and I said, hey, like, let's sing to Alicia. It's her, she's 50. And she's like, what? She's like, no, she's not. And just like 5 days before that, did you see Chelsea Handler's video that she just turned 50?
Oh,
did
I didn't
you
miss
see it. Okay. I will send it to you. She's you have to do it this weekend. Actually, she's skiing, wearing a bikini, smoking a cigarette, drinking a martini. She's got her dog in her backpack and she's going down the hill.
Okay.
It's amazing. And, okay. And that was her 50. And my daughter, I remember Aaliyah was like, that she's not 50. And I said, she is. And then I told her, you turn 50. And she was like, they don't look 50, Mom. They just don't.
50 is great then.
Yes. 50 is the new 20.
Right? Let's go with that. It's the new 20. Let's do it. Yeah, it's the new 20. We're going to do, okay. I will do the bikini skiing thing or some version of that if you'll do it with me. Some version of it together.
Oh. But at least I can't ski. Like, what's
happening?
I'm going to fall on my ass.
We'll do, I will like piggyback you in our skis. In some weird outfit or something. We have to do something that to be like a version of our turning 50 for me down the ski hill. Okay. And then we'll post it on Instagram. You know, so people are like, going to hold us accountable.
Yeah. You know, what's hilarious is that I'm the tall one. So like, if you literally were piggybacking me down the hill,
your legs
like,
drag.
I'm huge and your fault, like you're trying to hold me. And I mean, that would be quite the state. That would be that. Yeah. We'll do something.
We'll get it on video. Our husbands can record us. We'll get it on video to be like, we did something crazy because we said we would. So, okay, done. We're doing it.
Yes.
At the ski hill. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Oh. Well, today I'm excited to honor you and just talk a bit about kind of your life up to now, up to 50, and just reflect on some lessons and, you know, some of, I guess, like, your biggest lessons, I guess, is what I'm thinking, you know, and what you've learned coming up to this milestone birthday. Like, what feels like some of the biggest lessons? I mean, I feel like they could be in any realm of your life, like health, professional, friend, but just what are some of those lessons?
Oh my gosh, that's a massive question. I don't know. Okay. So, I think we started business. That's my kind of current, what's in my brain currently, business lessons. I'm realizing I learned nothing about business in school, clearly, and it's not my cup of tea, although I'm passionate about what I do. So there's a very much adolescent in me in the business world that's just excited, wants to do all the things, but has no idea, no direction. And I'm just like, been doing business meetings this past 2 weeks by like crazy, like tons of meetings with accountants and lawyers and CEOs of other companies and trying to figure out how to do business different. So even though I'm 50 in this body, my business mind is like 20, truly, mm-hmm. I think. So there's that. What else? I think, gosh, if I think of like my wheel of wellness, so like health, maybe milestones or health things I've learned. I think what I would have said was healthy 20 years ago or 30 years ago, or even at my kid's age, is different than I would say today. I still think health is, you know, extremely important. I've had some, as you know, some health things, as probably everybody has, but yeah. And how I went about my health things. So when I was 30, I think actually, if I think about this now, I was diagnosed with melanoma when I was 30 the first time, because I was pregnant with Drew. So yeah, so I was, yeah. So 20 years ago, and went into like panic mode. And so my lesson then was like, I think it was the first time in my life I seriously was like, you know, because you're 30 years old. I was in good shape. I went to the gym. I worked out. I was healthy in my mind, like working three jobs, stressing to the max. No, really not healthy. But then I thought, oh, if I just, you know, it's the first time in my life, I was like stopped in my tracks and was like, this can happen. Because I remember when the doctor phoned and he said, hey, you have like stage 4 melanoma. And I was like, you have the wrong number, click, and hung up on him. Yeah. That was my first reaction. Hung up on the phone. Yeah. It was Richard's dad. I don't know if you know the story. Do you know the story of how I got diagnosed? So I was in Vegas. Yeah. At that conference. Uh-huh. And I was picking at a mole that was, had been bugging me for a while, but my doctor was on mat leave as well. And so I was like, oh, I'll see you when I get back. No big deal. And Richard, my colleague, was with me at the conference, and he was like, you should get my dad to look at that. And I was like, nah, yeah, whatever. And so we got back to the jail. The next week he booked the appointment for me at my lunch break. And I was pissed off. And I was like, I'm not going to see your dad. I got my own doctor. And so anyway, I went to Dr. Lukanar, his dad, and he was like, ooh, took it off. And I was kind of mad that he took this, he like took out a scalpel and cut my leg open right in the office. And I was pissed off. I'd go back to work with this like wound on my leg. And within, I think it was 48 hours, I got a call back from the, I think it was him actually, in the morning. He was like, you, he basically said, he's a very blunt man. He's kind, mm-hmm. but he's very blunt. He basically said, you had, and he's a thick accent. You have blah, 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 melanoma. You're booked for surgery on Friday. And I was like, you have the wrong number. And before I hang up, he's like, and if you don't do surgery, you'll be dead in 6 months. And I was like, you have the wrong number, click. And I was like, what? That can happen? What do you mean? And then I kind of like got my brain on straight and then called him back. And I was like, what do you mean dead in 6 months? He's like, oh no, it's a very aggressive growing fast cancer. You'll be dead in 6 months. And I was like, okay, what do I do? And then, yeah. So he booked me for surgery. I had surgery like 3 days later, basically. So I went to work and told my boss and was like, I have to do this surgery on Friday. It might miss a few days of work. I don't know when it's going to go on. And yeah. So I just think, yeah. Mm-hmm. So life lessons around, like, you never know when something, and I, looking back now, at the time I was like annoyed at the inconvenience of this diagnosis and, you know, I had to change my lifestyle and I was willing, and I'm an all in kind of person. Like if I'm going to go all in. So I was willing to, you know, change my life. And so my oncologist at the time, Dr. Holland, who was amazing at the time, wanted to put me on chemotherapy. And I was like, I can't find any good research. You know, I'm doing my PhD in natural health at the time, and I can't find any good research on this chemotherapy to work with my melanoma. He's like, yeah, there isn't any. I'm like, so why would I take it? And being the kind of rebel that I am always, that I kind of want to, you know, I need to know, I need to understand it. Others not going to do it. And he was like, yeah, there is no research. And so I said, well, then why would I take this drug that has no research behind it? And he was like, well, it's what we just do. And I said, well, I'm going to come back in a week and we're both going to research this. And I want you to tell me, as if I was your kid, I was your daughter, what you would say to your own kid. And he was like, okay. And he was actually really good with me. Like, he was like, I never been asked that before. And so I went and did a bunch of research and came back in with all this research I had found. And he did some of it. And I said, I still can't find one research paper. He's like, yeah, neither can I. And I was like, so what did you find? He was like, yeah, you know, my protocol is to give you chemotherapy, but, you know, to prevent it from coming back. But we could try some alternative things if you want. And I was like, and he's like, I've never done this before, but I'm willing to do this with you because, yeah, I can't find any research either. And I was like, okay. And so we did. He was like, I want you to eat green and nothing but green for 6 months. And I was like, holy crap, that sounds terrible, but okay. So that's what I did. I quit everything. Like, I just juiced and it was awful. Detoxed. And
just to go back for a second, Leesh, before this diagnosis, like you, and because I remember you at this point, you were a lot different. Like you would eat whatever you wanted. Like you would, I remember when you were pregnant with Drew, like you would eat so McDonald's. Like it didn't matter you indulged in whatever you wanted kind of in life, like not like heavy drugs or anything, but just like you health conscious person that you are now. And then, and you know, and then the other thing that stands out to me that you just said is this need to know, this need to understand before I'm just gonna do something. And that's something that's very different about you than a lot of other people. A lot of people trust what their doctor says or their dentist says or their ophthalmologist, whatever it is, they trust you're the expert. And even as psychologists, people trust us, right? When we say this, they usually trust us. Sometimes they'll say, you know, prove it or tell me, you know, what the research is, but you challenged that authority and that profession and you found that they didn't have anything to back it up. And that, like, how did that feel for you at the time?
I don't think I was surprised. I think I was, because I had lost at that point many family members to cancer. So I'd watched like my aunties and my cousins and my uncles go through all the stages of cancer and chemotherapy, and they all died. And so I kind of was like, show me the research. Like, they've all done this and they all died anyways. And they died miserably. They died, you know, in pain and, you know, thin and, you know, miserably. And so I was like, I don't want to do that. If that's the only option, there must be another option. So, but I was actually really surprised by his reaction. Like, I wasn't surprised that there was no research. I was surprised that he was graceful with me, because I'd heard, you know, he's an oncologist and this is his job. And I'd heard that he's got a pretty direct way of doing things. And he did, but because he was so kind and was like, you're right, I can't find any. That was for me just like so empowering to be like, thank you for not just dismissing me, or thank you for not just telling me, you know, just do what I say, even though I can't back it up. That he was graceful enough to say, okay, let's try something different. And he followed up with me every 6 months for quite a until he retired, actually, to see how my levels were doing and to see how, you know, came back. Like, this next story is, we did this for a while and then I went back to my old ways and I ate McDonald's again. And not that McDonald's is evil, I'm just saying, but for me it was hormones, I think. And I went back to my old ways of eating and it came back in my stomach. And so that was my like, okay, and I went back and saw him again. And this one, I was pregnant with my daughter. And I remember being in his office and he said to me, how's it feel to be here again, this time pregnant in this room with all these people doing chemotherapy and I have this belly. And I was like, this feels awful. I will never stray again. Like, whatever we need to do, I will follow it. Like, now I'm scared. I was scared the first time, but now I'm like, okay. And he was like, let's go back to what we did the first time, because it worked. And let's just go back and we're going to redo your cycle and we're going to get you back on juicing again and get really clean again. And I'm like, okay. And then I didn't after that. I didn't cheat after that. And so, but, and again, this is 20 years ago. It's hard to find organic anything. You know, I didn't even have a garden. So I started gardening back then and juicing but you know, to find organic beef or anything like wasn't a thing. Where now I can find out my neighbors grow organic beef, you know, but.
And you also took it to the next level. Cause I remember you sending me things on like what's in lotion and what's in shampoo and what's in cleaning products. And back then to try and find natural stuff. And when you did find it, I remember buying it, it was deadly expensive. Like it was five times the amount of anything else on the market.
Yeah. It was my deep dive into like, wow, there's all of these things that we're ingesting. Like, then I was like, if I put it on my skin, it's going to go into my body. This is an organ. Holy crap. I never thought about that. So I'm going to put on some chemical and that I can't eat, but I'm gonna put it on my skin. That makes no sense actually. So then it changed from like, whatever I put on or in this body, I better be able to ingest it safely or it can't go in here.
Yeah.
It was a, you know, I became vegetarian, became vegan for a while, been vegetarian for 20 years now. Like it's been it did a whole switch of my lifestyle for sure. And I quit one of my, I was working three jobs. I ended up quitting the group home back then that I was running, and then ended up starting to cut back on some contracts and move out of like, you know, the really intense criminal stuff and in the courts and moving into more family stuff and couples work. And yeah, it was a whole, I look back now, you know, I'd say to my younger self now, you know, if I'd be like, those things that happen in your life are your invitations to change, rather than be so rigid and terrified. You know, anything that happens now, much as it sounds kind of cliche to be like, things happen for you, it's kind of true. Like, I'm really grateful for everything that's happened that's shocked me to my core to learn and to grow. Like, I would, so now when things happen, I'm like, pause. Right, what's in here for me to learn? What's in here? There's things happening. The universe is giving me lemons so I can grow. It's giving me challenges so I can adapt and shift and grow, because I'm probably stuck in something that I'm not even recognizing. Like, I was stuck in a pattern then of like, I look back now too and realize, you know, my upbringing was a pattern of hustling, like hustling for your worth. If you just, you know, blank to be enough, you got to be work harder to be enough. You got to be in better shape to be enough. You got to be a better soccer player. Like, it was always push, 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 push. You know, one job is enough. You better work three jobs. You better, right? There's always the next thing to be enough. And so I think that for me, that diagnosis was the first time to lean back and be like, okay, I need to stop trying to fill the blank enough thing and be like, what's my body actually asking for? It was and I started doing yoga back then. Like, it was a whole shift in my whole, it didn't just change a moment of my time. It changed my entire life for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm sure lots of different people around you, I mean, you changed my life going through that too. I mean, everything we started doing was completely different because of what you went through. And now it's very mainstream, obviously. Yeah. Like, more people are conscious of what they put on their skin. More people are conscious of what they put in their body, but I mean, I'm really grateful to learn from your experiences 20 years ago So I made those changes, a lot of those, not exactly all of them, a lot of them alongside with you, and it makes a big difference where you're
I
at
remember people
now.
asking me back then too, like, so how long are you going to do this for? Like, so how long are you going to stay vegetarian? And how long are you going to keep, like, when are you going to go back to the normal? Like, when are you going to go back to the normal? I remember getting asked that, years later. So when are you going to eat normal again? And I was like, you never. This is my normal. This is my normal. And now it's trendy. Now it is normal. Like, it's normalized now to mind what you eat and right to think of like our food as fuel and it what we put in our bodies, what we become. Like our literal, this is like of the earth. This body is of earth and of matter that I put into it. So, but that wasn't the thinking back then, at least not in my mind. It wasn't the thinking. So it was definitely breaking the mold of, labels and family beliefs and societal beliefs even where I was living at the time for sure.
And did you find, Leish, back then, your family and your friends, how did they respond to your challenging the mainstream narrative that you only treat cancer with chemotherapy? How did people respond to your kind of pushback of where's the research and that's not for me?
Yeah, mostly didn't discuss it. They kind of just like turned a blind eye and didn't want to talk about it. So I know my dad was really scared. Like I remember when I kind of told him, he melted down on the phone and cried pretty hard, and he was really scared. But I kind of was just like, give there again. I'm a logical being. I can't. There's no logic for me of this thing that has zero research that it's going to work. And even if there was like a pilot study, or I was going to be the study or something, but there was just like no link to why that would work for me. So. Yeah, I think fear didn't allow conversations to happen. And so I kind of felt pretty by myself back then. I was, thank God, I was doing my PhD at the time in natural health in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so I was flying back and forth there doing schooling. And so I had some, doctors and people on my team down there that I could talk to and be like, I'm going to try these things. And they were like, yeah, let's research some stuff. And they, so I had some professionals that were supportive. But as far as like family members and yeah, like even my husband was kind of like, okay, I'll do whatever you say. Like he's a, I'll go with the flow kind of guy. He's like kind and, but how long is this going to go on for again? Like, when are we going to eat normal again? Like, when can we just add the, hamburger helper to our food again? And I was like, never. I'll never put chemicals back in my food again. So it was not a conversation. It was just kind of like, I kind of did my own thing on the side and everyone around me just kind of lived the way they were living. And they just were like, oh, she's doing her thing. I kind of always was that kid though, I think. Like I was very aware from a young age. I was the rogue, the feral child. I wasn't the, the box. I didn't fit in the box young. And so I kind of was like, well, I guess I'm the feral child again. So I'm not going to go on my own and do my thing and whatever. It's okay.
Yeah, it feels like you like that. I call you kind of a free spirit that way. Like it feels like part of you kind of just came back. But I imagine it's also really lonely and well, obviously scary, but also just lonely, not feeling like you can talk about and process. Like, okay, I'm not going to do this, but I'm going to do this because 20 years ago this was not the norm. And now again, a lot of people question a lot more, but you really went through some of that for yourself.
No, I think they've had that more than once in my life, the norm of like feeling, alone there for sure. For different reasons in my life of being like, but that's kind of a norm for me, I think. Like, I think I actually do okay there. That's my island self, right? That I'm like, well, this is my norm. I just island out and I go by myself and I figure shit out and I take care of it. And so I don't spend much time feeling lonely there. I just, alone is my norm. So it's not something that I dwell in. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just be the rogue child over here and it's fine. And I'll do my stuff and I'll mix back in and you'll never know. I'll never bring it up. I'll never shake up your waters. I'll never ask you to be different. I'll just do my own thing over here in the corner.
I mean on the beautiful end of it, that's something that I'm sure a lot of people, I know that's what I love about you, is that I'm going to say it in kind of a funny way, you kind of mind your business. You're like, I'll do my business, you do your business, and it's fine that we're in different kind of realms, but we can coexist. Like it's you like you took like such a massive, like really big, heavy, scary situation and was just like, well, I'm just going to change my life and I'll just keep going and people will keep going. And I mean, you're inspirational in that way. I mean, it's crazy. Like I feel like I would have been like losing my shit completely. And I'm sure inside you were, but it didn't show outwardly. It definitely did not show. So.
No, like I didn't take days off work. I literally took off the days to get the surgery. And I think I had this, like, I had to have like the two surgeries because I had to have plastic surgery to fix the gash in my leg afterwards, you know, because they took out some lymph nodes. And so there's this, so I think I took off like, and it was a Christmas, the surgery was a Christmas time. And I, yeah, it was just like no big deal. I remember sitting on the couch having the massive gash, but just like did the normal things and then went back to work and then the normal day after. Just kind of like
Wow.
covered the hole so that you couldn't see there was a dent in my leg.
So looking back, is there anything you would do different, like in that experience? I mean, it feels like you did all of the things that are actually still in alignment with who you are now.
Kind of.
But I'm
well, there's a part of me. So there's a whiny part. There's always this little kid part of me that's like wants to demand more, but I shush her. So I'm curious. I don't know. Like there's a part of me that would like, you know, I was young then. You know, I remember like, you know, no offense to my parents, they did the best they could, but I was like, they didn't come home. Like I'm having cancer surgery and they didn't come home to be with me. They just stayed on vacation, you know? So, but that was, again, it was normal for me. Like that wasn't the first time. Like I had another surgery or like I cut my toe off one time at the age of like 15 working and they were also on vacation and cut my toe like right off. And same thing. And then 5 days later, they came home and my toe was like almost gangrenous at that point. And they had to go and, you know, get some surgeon to fix it all up. But I don't know if I would demand, like, I don't know if I would do it. A part of me is just like demand attention and demand someone take care of you. And there's a part of like, there's a little part of that, but it's a pretty small, I think, I don't know if I would do any different. I think there's a part that's like, I'm grateful. You know, I think what I would say, if I was to like walk into that 30-year-old's life right now, I would tell her, I would tell her, what can I say, emotional? I would tell her that she's like a rock star. Like I would tell her, you know, that she is the platform from which I stand now, like her strength and her ability to be like, it's fine. You know, not just lock and load in a way to survive. She does that really well too, but a way of like, she can deal with her stuff and still be present. Like I remember that person being present and opening gifts and, you know, making breakfast, whatever, and just being part of a, you know, of my husband's family and, you know, grateful to be there with them and be like, I was still able to be, I wasn't swallowed by my own stuff. And I'm grateful for her for that. Like her ability to just be in stuff. And, you know, it's kind of my life story. I think now that I'm thinking about it now, it's like, if you want to get real deep, we're going to get real vulnerable here. It's kind of like, you know, my story of like my, you know, younger abuse that I didn't even know happened to me. It's the same thing that she did. Like my kid self literally took a traumatic story, like abuse story, locked it up. I didn't even know it happened. I didn't even know I had a story like that until years later, I'm working and walk by that office that one day and have that body reaction. Right. And then was like, oh, this is what's been in my body. I knew there was something. I had some like intellectual ideas, but I didn't know what. And so same thing. I think about that, like 5-year-old, that 4-year-old that was, you know, being sexually molested. Like I think about her and be like, I want to high five her and be like, you know, you are my gift. Like I wish it didn't happen to you. And I wish that someone was there to protect you. But at the same time, I'm grateful for her. Like I'm grateful for that kid that was able to be like, okay, whatever reason I didn't tell people around me, I didn't want to burden people with my stuff. Just didn't want to do that. So I just locked it up and carried it. And she brought it to my attention when I was old enough to handle it. And we did, and we're still handling stuff. And I just think those younger parts of myself that locked and loaded, I just have nothing but love and respect and adoration for them. And I would tell them that.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful, Leish.
Yeah.
And I think as we kind of, especially not just at your milestone birthday that you're at, but like when we reflect back in our life and we start to kind of tune into those parts of us that you can see that they've been with us for so long because we're not so drastically different. You know, I mean, there's new parts, but those parts are still there. Those younger parts of like, no, I tend to take care of myself. I tend to, you know, please others and care for others, but asking for help or reaching out is, you know, it's not the first thing that, you know, that you do. And overgeneralizing as therapists, that's a lot of us as well, right? We have similar stories. And then we make a profession out of it because we're like, oh, we're really good at taking care of other people.
Yeah. Right.
Not ourselves as much, but others.
Yeah. You know, I would say that then. I would add to that to piggyback what you just said. I would say that to my 30-year-old self, be like, hey, much as I admire you and I adore you, and even 5-year-old, but she's too young to even have that. But the 30-year-old self, I'd say, I also want to just, you know, employ you to give as much love to self. Cause I know that sounds selfish to my 30-year-old self. That would be like, oh no, that sounds selfish. That's not what I do. I would employ you to be like, because the love that you give self, the love that you actually just the love that's in self that you just like bring up and live and like enjoy, that actually is a foundation that will serve others. So I want to teach, I would love to teach my younger self to do that better. I'm learning that now. Like I'm learning to love this body. I'm learning to love all the imperfections and, you know, the gray hairs are showing up. Like I'm loving the fact that I'm aging is a gift. Like I'm learning that now, but I wish I could have told my younger self then to, because it felt so foreign then and still feels foreign now at this age, as it, even though I've been working on it for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think that that's a huge one. Just giving love to self and not always self-abandoning for other people to accommodate, to just, you know, stay in that self energy and be you and be that young, you know, carefree little one that is going to do whatever you're going to do, but stay in that, like stay in that loving.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Cause that's the fountain, right? That's where it comes from. That's the, and if I, it's not even having to find love. It's just like, if I can lean back, you know, now when I do my meditations and do my like, you know, self energy work and really my divine energy work, it's a, the love that's already there is so massive. I don't have to go find it. I just got to like sit with it and feel it. And it's just this welling, this energy of like, oh, this is magnificent. Like this is bigger and better than I could ever find out there in the world. Right. And then if I could bring that to my life, to what I do, to my service, like, wow, that's, you know, it takes away all the labels, like all the, man, I spent so much time hustling for my worth, hustling for, right, hustling to be the best, whatever you got to be at. And, you know, so much time, I think turning 50, I could be like, okay, I'm actually going to stop giving a shit. I'm really going to stop. I'm going to work really hard to stop giving a shit to, because be like, the love that's, that you're searching for already exists. It's already in there. Just like lean back, sister, feel it, and then bring that to the table. And those that want to resonate with you there, it's going to be a really fun, joyful dance. And those that don't, they're just not there. And that's okay. Love them anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Love them anyways. That's so good. Just love them anyways. Whatever.
Anyways.
Love them anyways. What about lessons in relationships? What are some that you feel like in your 50 years, what is like, whether it's, you don't have to kind of go into family if you don't want, you can go into like friendships or, you know, I mean, even relationships as being a mother or, you know, the relationship being a therapist. I mean, you could go into lots of different ones, but is there anything that stands out to you?
Well, they all stand out because that's the biggest joy, right? That's it. Like if I, on my deathbed, I want to say the biggest gift of my life has been my relationships. Like that's the biggest gift that I've taken that I will take with me. And hopefully that's the biggest gift that I've left behind is relationships, not, you know, accomplishments or whatever, but relationships. So, you know, I think those are worth working at. Like, I think those are worth, you know, and I also think worth working at, but also knowing that they ebb and flow. They come into your life to teach you and to grow you and to, you know, to grow certain parts at certain times. And then they leave. They're just, it's like the ebb and flow of life. And so not to cling and hang on to things that aren't meant to be anymore, but that's okay too. And that used to be so painful and you know, is painful. And so it's grief, but grief is also just, if I think of it this way, if I lean back all the way and go, everything in life is just, is an experience. Or if I do that, actually, if I lean back even further and let's go back to what we talked about earlier, this idea of love. Okay. So when we're born, I believe that every being, so everything that's energy, which is everything that's energy, is love. So energy, you know, divine, God, whatever you call it, whatever source that gives us energy is love. Okay. So if I was to metaphorically ask a newborn baby, hey, little baby, now that you're here in human form, do you want to be like God? Do you want to find divine in this life? A baby would be like, well, that's a stupid question because I already am God. I came here to have a human experience as God, as divine energy, as creative energy, as source energy, right? So the baby would be like, well, that's a stupid question because I'm actually here as God to have an experience as a human. That's a stupid question. So I don't need to go find it because I already am it. Okay. And I think that's the whole thing of like coming full circle into like realizing that we spend our life looking for that because we forget. We are that, but then we have all these experiences in life that we forget. We get so far removed from the fact that we are source energy. Oh no, I'm just a human hustling to be, to find, to fit. Ugh, that word fit, to fit in somewhere. I'm hustling to fit something. And I forget that I'm actually divine energy that doesn't need to fit anything. This is all experiences. Yeah. And in that realization, all of those things that feel like letting go, that feel painful, there's no letting go. There's nothing was mine to begin with. Nothing, there's nothing in this earth that's actually mine to begin with. Not even my kids, which makes me sad to think, but really they're a gift and they're such a precious gift. Every relationship is such a gift that when they come and go, when they move out of my house and they move in, right? My human parts are going to grieve and be sad, but I'm also just like massively grateful for the gift of them. So every relationship that comes into my life, whether it be for 5 minutes or 5 years or 50 years, they're all gifts. They're all gifts. Yeah. And not one of them is mine to cling to. Because that's ownership that I don't actually get to claim, because they're their own divine energy having a human experience. And we're all divine energy having a human experience. And so if we could all just lean back and remember that, we wouldn't be so damn clingy and so attached to shit or each other. We would just enjoy each other as a divine love that we are.
Yeah, I love that. And enjoy, I love that you just said that, like enjoy each other, because I think connections, like I just visualize that we're all little light beings and you know, when we're in our light and in our divine and we connect with somebody else, there's like another like light that connects with them and then with these other people. But when we go through hard times in life, we tend to generalizing, we tend to pull back, right? Yeah. We pull back and we go, no, I can't right now. No, I this, that. And then our light kind of dims a bit because we kind of lose ourselves a bit. And then those connections we lose. And so, you know, when we can lean back into love and this divine and just being like, no, I can just be with these people and I don't have to be anything to fit in. I don't have to be not sick or not depressed or whatever, you know, but leaning into those connections, because at the end, I mean, you and I are aligned with this, you know, to me, I'm the same way. There's nothing nothing better than relationships. I mean, at the end, you want all those relationships loving on you and visiting you and talking about stories with you. I mean, that sounds like the best ending to this journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And whatever stage of being that is. Because that's exactly plan for that. That's what we want to plan for. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like that's what we're doing on this journey. We're planning because we all know we're exiting, right? Yeah. Like we just don't know when. It's a little bit of a mystery, you know? Yeah. But nurture all of those relationships, even the ones that are the meh, you know, you nurture them because or give them love, you know, just send them
give
love.
Them love and whatever that means. And that could mean releasing them. Giving them love sometimes means releasing them to be like, I don't align with you or we don't align. That's okay. I love you. And I love that you choose your way to align with your life and live your life the way you live. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that I release you from like my love. I just release you from maybe hanging out with me tonight or tomorrow or whatever. Like we don't have to do the same things. We don't have to love the same, you know, some actions, but I can still release you from, because I think you're having a human experience and we get to choose what is the experience that I want to have. I heard a monk say this the other day on a podcast and it was interesting. He was talking about death actually. And he said, you know, we get stuck in these stories of like how people die that are so traumatic of like, oh my gosh, that person died too young, or that person died in a car accident, or that person died parachuting or whatever, you know, these traumatic stories. And he said, but think about it. If, you know, he's like, he believes in reincarnation. He's like, so if we're going to come back and live, you know, a human experience many, 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 many times, why wouldn't you choose to have all the experiences, including death? So why, he said, it's naive to think that we didn't choose that, to be like, I want to die one time in a parachute accident. I want to die one time flying. I want to die one time in flames. I want to die one time in the water. Like, I want to die 1 million times making love to my partner. And then that's going to get old. I want to die 1 million times, you know, 102. And then that's going to get old. I want to die one time of childbirth and just be there for a second and leave. I want to feel, right? Why wouldn't we think, like, it's naive to think that we haven't chosen that. And just even him saying that, again, push me back to that place of like, right, we are all divine, having a divine experience. And who am I to judge that your experience was too short or too long or too messy or too whatever? That's human perception and that's putting you in boxes. I'm going to just align with love and be like, your loving energy and your loving journey is yours. And I release you from my boxes. That's what I think boundaries are, is releasing you from what I think my boxes are. And don't get me wrong, as I mean, I'm still human. I still have, you know, I'm still working through not having boxes. It's hard not to, and hard not to judge, and hard, right? But it's the practice of like leaning back to be like, can I just really align with, we're all on our journey of divine energy. We're all here to experience through our own very unique lenses of what that looks like for each of us individually. And can I release you from my boxes?
Oh, I love that. That's really good, Leish. You already answered a few of my questions. What What have you noticed is like the biggest challenge kind of coming up to 50? Like, is there anything, it could be psychological, it could be in your mind, it could be physically. Is there anything that has been a challenge coming up to this age?
Well, I'm not going to lie, the physical stuff's been not very fun. So because I have melanoma in my stomach with my daughter, they had a hysterectomy, and so I went into menopause early. And so I thought, oh, I scaled out that pretty easily. And then it kind of hit me a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, this is. So I'm trying to think again. I'm trying to embrace it like it's like puberty again. You're like going through like, oh, I'm getting zitty and I'm sweaty and my body's changing in these really weird ways, just like when you're an adolescent. So I'm trying to embrace that my daughter's going through it. So I'm going to go through it too. And I'm going to embrace it with grace and offer her the same, and also get to complain a little bit about, these hot flashes kind of suck and these whatever zits or what, all the things that change my, like I'm thirsty all the time. I cannot stay cheap. I'm thirsty all the time. It's crazy. There's, things are drier than they used to be. Things are changing. But then I think, okay, but just like, it's a metamorphosis. It's again another, as we go through puberty, we know that our bodies get ready for babies, or our bodies get ready for changing and hormones and relationships and all the different things. So I'm like, okay, this is gonna, open up, and my wings are gonna spread into different, and I think I'm just now into the next phase of just like, okay, so now that part's kind of ending, and I get to spread my wings to this new phase, and this body's now done a 180 change. Again, this body is amazing. Like the things that it does and the things that it's went through, and it's got, like, our bodies are so incredible. And so to, instead of judging it, being like, hey, you got to sweat it out a little bit, and you got to do some stuff, and you got to like get dry or whatever, and I'll feed you some water and I'll do some things for you. And I'm just going to ride with you in this journey, and I'm going to listen to you and let me know what you need. And I'm going to try to, embrace as you're ready to spread your wings, body, in different ways. And I'm going to listen to you. And I'm going to resist the idea that, like, I've noticed, I said to you this morning, I banged my elbow, 6 months ago, and it still hurts. Or I ripped my shoulder, wakeboarding, or not wake surfing last summer. I rode torn rotator cuff, and I'm like, went surfing last week for the first time. I'm like, oh, I still can't paddle my arm. So like things don't heal, but I'm gonna resist that urge. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna give my body that message. I'm gonna be like, okay, so it's healing differently, and I don't understand why, but I'm gonna learn about that. There's got to be something I can do, stretches, mindfulness, maybe medications, creams, I don't know, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to break that mold and be like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I just, what happens when you age? I guess you turn 50 and you have sore joints. No, that's not who I'm going to be like, let's figure this out.
Yeah, this is that younger you that is,
Yeah.
out of the boxes, free spirit, flowing
Yeah.
out there with your fingers and your dancing, and you need to know and you need to understand. And so you're
Yeah.
like, I'll figure it out.
I'll
I'll
figure
figure
this
it. You
out.
guys just go ahead and age, and I'll figure out how to still be as not young in terms of looking. We're not
Yeah.
trying to look like we're 16
No.
or anything, right? But like,
No.
but just feel like, how do you feel? The youngest and the most healthiest that you can. That's the goal, right?
That's the goal.
Feel
Yeah.
healthy forever. Like, as long as you can, you want to be able to do the things that you want to do. And, and somebody who knows you well, you don't, there's nothing that you don't try and do though either. Like, it's,
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you would resist skydiving. I don't know. I've never asked you that. But it doesn't feel like there's anything you turn down. You're like the adventure queen. So,
Yeah, I kind of like to try new things for sure. Like, yeah, I tried a couple new things this week that I've never tried, and it was fun. I went axe throwing yesterday for the first time, like throwing literally big axes. That was terrifying, but it was fun. I don't know if I would do sky. I could do skydiving. I don't really like heights, so I don't know if I could actually jump. I think my instincts of like, that's dangerous, what might get in the way, but we'll see. I don't know. Not saying never, but, or bungee. I don't know if I have a desire to do those things, but like I think this, I want this body to, as long as I'm in it, it's the vehicle that it's gonna maybe slow down or something, but does it have to? I give to give it better gas. Like as my vehicle ages, we give it more oil changes, and we just put premium gas in it, and we like drive it a little gentler, maybe, or whatever. Like old cars still drive. I see old cars in the road all the time, and they're still driving.
exactly. And I mean, the old cars are made differently. And I would say, the older people are, I mean, we know that there's wisdom, right? And so, you hold a lot of wisdom throughout your life, and how you're going to integrate all of that wisdom will help propel you to wherever you're headed.
Yeah. When I think of wisdom, I think of trees. That's my like tree fetish I have with trees. I think of like, so if the analogy is like wisdom is like, a tree, which I always think about. Okay, so when you're a little, seedling, when you're a little seedling, you have all the potential in the world. And a little seedling knows that it's going to grow. It has the potential, this little tiny seed, to grow into the massivest oak tree or whatever tree it's designed to grow into. And it has no question about how massive it can be and how great and fruitful it can be. That's a baby. And it'd be like, hey, do you want to be fruitful? It'd be like, again, the baby would be like, that's a stupid question, because of course I'm going to be fruitful. Like, I have all the potential in the world, so don't, get out of my way. And then we're this little, like, you know, this little skinny tree growing, and we're like, oh, it's windy out here and it's kind of cold out here. And oh my God. And right. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to break. And then we get a little rigid and we get a little nervous and we ask for sticks to hold us up and we ask for scaffolding and people around us. And right. Or we lean on the tree beside us, or like trees do this. They kind of like, you know, lean together. Like, I watch my trees in my yard. They grow together sometimes. And I think it's cool. Trees will like actually help each other in the roots. They'll feed each other water and nutrients and things like that. And so then as a tree ages, the wisdom, you know, it gets wiser and it grows and it doesn't freak out anymore. It's like, oh, it's windy. I know wind. Oh, it's snowy. I know snow. Oh, it's whatever. It gets a hurricane. I just get thicker, you know, bark around me, pump my roots even deeper. My branches are massiver. Wisdom is that it's the metaphor of the knowledge of, I don't get tipped over by the winds anymore as much as I used to when I was a little seedling, or a little, you know, not a seedling, like a branch, when I was a skinny little tree. The bigger, the older, I have more crevices and cracks in my skin. I have, you know, breaks in my branches and things, you know, a little more crooked. But because of that, I'm massiver and I'm safer and I have more shelter to offer more birds. I have more wisdom. I have more leaves, and I don't freak out when my leaves fall, or those ones fall before those ones fall. There's no comparison. The older the tree, the wiser, the more magnificent it is, the more kids want to climb it. Like, I think it's a cool metaphor like a tree.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, nobody wants to buy like a 6-month-old tree or a 2-year-old tree. Like, people want like the 15 to 40, 50. I mean, we want the aged trees, right? I mean, the older, the better, the more stable it is, usually, because it's huge.
Yeah.
And what I like about that too, is that it aligns with you in the sense of like the beauty and aging also of like, you know, letting things happen as they happen. So when your hair color is changing, you're like, okay, well, we roll with that. Like, how do we roll with that? You know, I'm getting, you know, more wrinkles, or, you know, something in my body is changing. Well, we're going to roll with that. Like, I'm not just going to try and change everything. I'm going to roll with it because this is what I'm meant for.
Yeah. And I'd be curious about that. People, you know, I don't want to judge anybody else that wants to, you know, fight aging in different ways. That's their prerogative. And that's, again, their journey. And that's, you know, I'd be, you know, curious to ask themselves why. Like, there's definitely a voice in me too that's like, ooh, maybe I should, you know, do some Botox or something that I've, you know, that I don't do, you know. But I pause and go, but that's, why would I want that? Oh, right, because it's maybe an outside voice and I should look a certain way for what? Or for society. Like, it's not actually my internal voice, it's outside. So when it's outside, then I'm like, no, that doesn't lie with me. I'm okay with these wrinkles I've earned and these scars in my body I've earned and these gray hairs, you know, that I've, you know, that are, my daughter the other day was like, Mom, your hair's white. I'm like, yeah, it kind of is turning white in some spots. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know, so if you want to do stuff, pause and just ask yourself, like, what's your why? If it aligns with you and you're like, no, I just really want to, this is the life I want to live. I want to be as Botox as I can. Okay. Then as long as you do it authentically, have at her. But if you're doing it because of somebody else's agenda, then that's not authentic. It doesn't sit quite right. That's not alignment. That's misalignment. And you're going to always feel, you know, your tree's never going to grow to potential. Your tree's going to always be growing for others. It's going to be bent in half and it's going to break easy because it's growing for somebody else, not for self. If it's growing for self, it's going to be the strongest, most abundant tree it can be for as long as it can be. And when it falls over, it doesn't freak out. It's like, I lived my authentic life. It's like your dad. He lived his best life. He didn't freak out. He's like, when I fall over and become dust and back to the earth again, I will nurture the earth again.
Yeah.
His body will nurture the earth again.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That is so true. I like the way that you brought it back, Leisha, of like, you know, if you want to do different things to, you know, postpone aging, which everybody would love to postpone certain parts of aging at some point. Even my dad was like that. I mean, he got his eyes done because his lids started to droop, and he was like, I again, and he got his gobbler fixed because he's like, I look like an old man. You know, this was a long time ago. He got these things fixed, like in his 60s, I think, but still, like, if it aligns with yourself and you're like, I'm doing this because it's what makes me happy and it's an alignment, then go have at her. It's when we're living life for somebody else or for society or to fit in, or that's when it won't feel the same. Yeah. So I love it that way.
Yeah. I know. I thought about getting my eyes for the first time, getting my eyes done recently, like the eye surgery. Cause I'm like, I actually like glasses, but when I was like surfing and I go skiing quite a bit, I'm like, man, it's, cause I don't wear contacts. And I'm like, I really can't see anymore. Like where the divots on the hill are and stuff. So I'm like, maybe I'll get the eye surgery. Cause that actually would help prolong my skiing and prolong my, outdoor adventures that I didn't wear glasses for example. So yeah, as long as it aligns, I really have no judgment about what people do with their bodies or with their faces or whatever. As long as they have their own personal authentic reason for what they're doing, then have at her. And
Yeah,
your tree will
do
stay
it.
strong.
Yeah. Is there any rituals or traditions that you have done on birthdays throughout your
Oh,
life?
no, but my favorite thing to do is like the smaller the better. I don't, like I said to Jay, remember my 40th too? He was like, do you want a party? I was like, no, I want to just be whitefish, wanted to go skiing. Same thing. So this year I was like, same thing. I'm like, we planned to go skiing yesterday, but it was too damn cold. So we just did family, like the four of us went axe throwing, indoor golfing, and played darts. Okay. I think my ritual is like tight, small, right? Just the things that I've nurtured and that nurture me back because I don't. Yeah, I'm not a big reacher outer person. So I'm like, I just want to do it small. And then, this weekend we're gonna go skiing with you guys and yeah, just have my people around me and just have a small low key. Obviously, we're gonna do some crazy bikini skiing or something now, it sounds like. But for me, it's yeah, I think the rituals are like it can't be, it has to be something that where I'm having fun with my people. Like I want to be laughing with, if it's just about me and I'm on the, if I was just like center of attention, I would hate that. That would not be my scene. But if I'm with my people and we're all having, you're having the same much fun as I'm having the same much fun as you're having, that's great. Like we're having the same amount of fun. Awesome.
Now I have to ask because I've never asked this before. What's your earliest memory of a birthday as a child?
Oh my God. Good. The only memory I have, honest to God, I have two, 15 and 16. Yeah.
You don't not, not as a child?
No. I thought
Really?
about that. When I do my kids' birthday parties when they were little, I remember thinking, did I do this as a kid? Like, did we do like, remember the little gift bags and candy tables and all that? And I was like, I do not remember. Like, I'm sure I had cakes and stuff. I don't know. I have not any. First, my birthday, I remember I was 15 years old because we did like a little dance party in my parents' basement. And my husband, Jay, we have pictures of him. He was there. We ate cake off the floor for some reason. We did a cake eating contest off the floor. And then my 16th birthday, we did a murder mystery at my house. And those are the only, I don't remember my 18th birthday even. I remember those two birthdays.
Wow.
That's my first memory is
Interesting.
my 15th. Yeah.
Any photo memories? Like, is there any photos that show you as like, oh, there's 3-year-old Alicia, there's 5-year-old, no
No, I have
photos.
none. No. No. I only have one photo of me as a kid. I have one, I have a school picture of me in kindergarten. And then I have a picture my auntie gave me of hiding under her bed. Now that's been about four. And I'm under her bed, like grinning at her. And she gave me that picture. So I have that picture of me. But I don't really have too many young ones. Yeah. My cousin posted a picture on Facebook yesterday. Did you see that picture? It was terrible.
No, I didn't.
It's really, I look like my son. I'm in grade 7. And I have like a mullet perm with steps in my hair. And my son right now has a mullet perm. And I was like, Drew, you have the same hair as me right now. And I was in grade 7.
Wow, you were really cool, obviously.
Well, not very cool. I will show you this picture just because it's so bad.
Oh, that's pretty funny. As we're saying this, I just want to say, realistically, I actually don't have any birth memories of like young birthdays, but I've seen pictures. Like my mom has pictures, so I know I had birthday parties, but I don't
Yeah.
actually remember them consciously at all.
Yeah, I don't
So,
either.
oh, that's you.
Yeah.
Wow, everybody, you're enjoying this all along with us. That does not you do look like your son. You don't
I
you
look.
and you also look like you're in grade 5, not grade 7.
I might have been grade 6.
Okay,
I had
that looks
braces.
more.
Maybe grade 6. I had braces for sure. But the mullet was in style in like maybe grade 6, maybe grade 7. Maybe grade 7 had longer hair. Maybe grade 6. But I'm like, oh my God. I don't even know where she found that picture. I was like, how did you even find that picture? So I'll have to ask her, do you have pictures of me having birthday parties when I was a kid? Because I don't have any. So embarrassing.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay,
Crazy.
one last question here at least that I want to say. anything that you want to change kind of in your life going into this next phase of life, I guess. It's a phase. It's a journey. It's a decade. It's something new.
It's a metamorphosis.
Anything new
It's
that
a new, and we'll go through another one. Like, I think it's not the last one. I think there's another one to go through still, but I think change, man, I actually am like so grateful for where I'm at. I mean, lots of, I'd like to change my business stuff. Obviously I want to like grow some stuff there. I want to, you know, I want to grow in lots of areas. Change. I think if I want to change anything, I want to really, in the most loving way, not give any shits anymore about things that don't matter. Because I think it would make more space in my life to really, this gratitude that I'm having, to expand the gratitude and the joy. I want to be more joyful. Okay. Like, I'm pretty happy, but I spend a lot of time working and focusing and narrowing in and like working hard and crunching. And so that's not very joyful. I take the joy out of stuff when I'm always like on. So I think if I can lean back and like be a little bit less on in some things, yeah, opens the door to be a little bit more joyful. That's what I want to change.
Oh,
more joyful.
It. More joyful. You could always, just as a recommendation, you could always get like from Inside Out, you could always get joy from that movie, like tattooed maybe somewhere, so you could see it all the time as a reminder to be more joyful.
Hey. Right. I've never seen the movie. I've never seen that movie. I know. I don't know why.
Leah like 5 times a week. Like that's what we always have on. And you know what she said yesterday? We were watching it yesterday. And she said, you know what, Mom? So there's two characters. One of the characters is disgust and she's like attitude. She's like, God. And Aaliyah's like, I have a lot of disgust in me and a lot of anger. Those are my two main ones.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, you do. And she meant it more the characters, not that she's an angry, disgusted child. She's not like that. She's actually very joyful and fun and crazy. She's got a lot of attitude. So you watch it.
So what's the character that's like always figuring stuff out and working hard and like, right? Okay. That's my younger self. That was the drive of like, work hard, don't stop working. Right. But it came from a different generation. Like it came from a generation of like, you know, watch my parents go through hard times and struggle financially. And so I was like, okay, note to self, if I work harder, I'll never be stuck financially like them. So I'll just like give it all I've got. So what's that character?
Well, they only had four characters in it. There was just joy, sad, or no, five, I guess, joy, sadness, disgust, anger, and fear.
Okay. So I need a new character. I feel like there's a nerdy glasses guy that's just like, okay, let's get to work. What are we going to do today, people? Let's step it up.
Fearful. He was the one who was like, oh, let's be careful. So
you're not careful. I don't have careful that much.
Really careful.
Yeah.
What else? I know that you said there was one other thing. I wanted to kind of leave it up to you too. Is there anything else that you feel like you kind of want to say in terms of, you know, being at your milestone birthday? Any advice or think lessons or anything else that you kind of want to share with our audience of, you know, some 50 pluses and some under 50s out there?
I think, okay, so I read a book, like I think in college. I don't remember the book, but I remember reading this one line in the book. And I think she said, it was Joan Borzanko, it was a woman's book of life. And she said somewhere in that book, I remember a line that she said, I think it was like a Cherokee wisdom that they don't believe that women turn into adults until they're like 50s or turn 50. And I remember thinking back then, that's crazy. Like I'm a, you know, university student. I'm getting my master's degree. I'm going to be a psychologist. Like I'm an adult. Right. Yeah. And I think now looking back, I'm like, oh, that kid was not an adult. So I think there's something to be said about that. I need to go back and read that book. I'm going to reorder that book actually, about like all these growths you go through, like, you know, our 20s are kind of like our still adolescence. We're still like trying to figure out who we are, where we fit in, where we not fit in, where we belong, where we want to belong, like having a voice. And our 30s are kind of about relationships then, starting to create, you know, long-term what's important. And, you know, if you're becoming a parent or whatever, or growing your career, that kind of stuff. And then 40s are kind of like solidifying those things. So now that you've got those things kind of figured out, you're kind of like hammering down, working hard, solidifying those things. And I feel like 50, you're finally like, okay, I've done all those things. Like, I feel like for me, I've done all those things now. I can sit back and be like, I really like my people. Like, I really like my friends. Like, I have a small group. Like, I have a pretty small group of people that I consider my people. I really don't just like them. I adore them. Like my people that are in my soul group, my soul people, my soul surfers, they're like my people, they're my group. And I adore them to the core, and they adore me back. And that kind of is mind blowing. And then, yeah, my kids and my partner, like I'm grateful. Like I have these primary relationships that are so extraordinary that they blow my mind. Like if I could tell again, my younger self, like just you wait, like you think your babies are cool. Like remember how in love you are with your new baby. You're like, this is the most amazing thing on the planet. Or you marry your partner. One day you're like, oh my God, I'm so in love with you. Like that.
Yeah.
I had no idea what love, I had that. That's like a toe dip into the pond of love of what I feel for them now. Like the love I feel for my partner now and my kids now, like blows it out of the water. Like it's way, 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 way more than the first day of, you know, marriage, the first day of having a baby. It's mind blowing how much it grows exponentially every single day, even though we're all pains in the asses and nothing's perfect. My kids are messy. My husband's a pain in the ass. I'm a pain in the ass. Like we're all annoying, all the things. It still continues to grow. So I think, yeah, there's some wisdom and some cool lessons in there. And then turning 50, you're like, okay, I can kind of sit back now. I'm like, I don't got to work so hard at all those things. I can enjoy the hard work I've put in and just continue to like maintain in a mindful way. It's kind of like becoming a good athlete. You work really hard to get really good at your sport. And then once you're good, you maintain and the sport, you're in the flow, it gets easier. I kind of feel like I'm in sport now. Like I kind of know the sport I'm in, my job, my relationships, you know, I'm going to learn, you know, new sports. I'm going to learn new things that are going to challenge me, but the life sport, I feel like I've done some good hard work and I kind of know the sport and I'm going to now like take it a little bit easy in some ways where I can just actually enjoy the sport, which is why I think I'm going to, yeah, that's my change. Joy.
Right. Keeps going back to that. Enjoy.
Joy.
Joyful. Yeah. Just be that beautiful aged tree. That's just enjoying the wind,
right?
It's enjoying the snow, enjoying the sunshine. It's just
during all the seasons.
Rooted.
Yeah.
You've got roots. You've got other, you know, connections and trees around you that are supporting you and loving you back. And
yeah,
I mean, you have a beautiful life. I mean, you've created and you've lived in a sense of alignment of always, really. I mean, from as long as I've known you, you've always lived in an alignment of who you are and what you stand for. And you've never wavered on that. That's something that I've always noticed. I mean, it's whatever it is that you believe and you're in it and you don't waver from that.
And I would say, that's been challenging most of the time. And hopefully now, you know, I'm open to probably more open than I've ever been to like new information. Like I want to learn and I'm willing to change and change my beliefs all the time. But when I know something that's, you know, aligned with my heart, that's my truth, to again, not give a shit in a most loving way that people that don't align there, that's okay. And not be so brokenhearted by people that don't align there. Cause I used to think like, but please align with me. Like if we just could align here together, it could be so much better. And I'd be, you know, it'd break my heart and people don't align with me. And I could be like, it's okay. I can release you. Cause if you weren't mine hanging on to in the first place and I can love you where you're at in a really authentic way and still be the feral rebel child that I've always been. Cause I think that's who I am. That's unfortunately or unfortunately, that's how I've been put in this body to experience being a bit of a rebel. And that rebel gives me creativity and it gives me, you know, ideas that are out of the box often and break molds and people don't like that all the time. And, you know, I'm a lot and I'm fast and I'm, you know, going to create new ideas and people are like, some people don't like that. And I have to be okay with that. And I'm okay with that finally.
And as you're saying that, all of that, I just have this vision of you when you were like 16, which I didn't know you then obviously, but you know, you had a motorcycle and in grade 5 or 6, you had a mullet. So you were pretty like bad. You know, you have been, I love to see all the pictures, you know, how some people have like those, like kindergarten, grade 1, 2, I'd love to see, it'd be really fun to have like 50 years of that. Hey, that'd be a really cool.
Wow. Yeah. I should. I was thinking too, like my grad dress, my daughter got her grad dress and I was thinking back to my grad days. And I remember saying to the, I went to the store and I couldn't find anything I liked. And I remember my mom's friend was a seamstress. And I was like, can you make me a dress? She's like, yeah. I'm like, make me the dress that's opposite of everybody else. Whatever everybody else is doing, if it's pink and lace, I want black or blue. Like, so my dress was like blue and it was like tinfoil or something weird. Like, right? Like, I want whatever they're doing, I'm gonna do the opposite. So yeah, it's not new. This is not new to my personality. It's kind of, and now I'm at 15, be like, I'm gonna embrace it and be like, ride the wave of difference, ride the wave of being a rebel, being different, and find the creativity, find the ingenuity in there, find the passions in there that are different. And it's going to be hard knocks sometimes, and I'm up for it. Like, I've had some hard knocks and I'm not, didn't kill me yet. So it's all good.
You're awesome. You've always been one of my best friend, but you've also always been a role model for me and a mentor for me. And I was saying this to somebody the other day, I'm like, I'm always a couple steps behind Alicia. So whatever she's doing, I get there. But I'm always several steps behind. And it's great because you kind of lead the path for me. So it's almost like you're
Chopping.
shoveling. Oh, yeah. Or chopping or shoveling, you know, and I get to enjoy a little bit more of the smooth path because I fall a lot. So that's probably better that I don't hurt myself. But
Yeah.
I love you. Appreciate you. And
Yeah.
I'm glad that we got to celebrate you a little bit today and just talk about your lessons and your life. And
So
happy
crazy.
fucking birthday.
So crazy. So crazy. I love you back twice as much as always. Like, I adore you. And I'm grateful. Like, I think if I wasn't who I authentically am, I wouldn't have people like you in my life to be your authentic selves. And right, you're the fuel that fuels me. So if I keep trudging ways and you keep coming with me, then it's all worth it.
Yeah. It instantly, when you said that, I'm sure we've said this on our podcast before, but I had the visual of us in Santa Monica when we were at that hotel and they thought we were lovers.
Oh yeah.
Remember we got
Upgraded. Yeah. We're like, yes, we are. We no problem. Yep.
Yep. Definitely. We are in love with
Yes.
each other and we would love the upgrade
totally.
together.
We'll make out right now if you need us to. It's not a problem.
Doubling love back and forth and people could see it.
Yeah.
Because of how much we love each other as friends. And people are like, they must be lovers.
Right?
And you know, so look
Yeah.
at that. Love gets you upgrades.
It does. It's true. And it's fun to like uninhibitedly, like actually just like loosen those barriers and just love like forcefully, like just love with the biggest, massivest heart. And again, it's overwhelming. Like it's sometimes people are like, whoa, it's, you know, like, but it's kind of awesome. Like it's beyond awesome actually. Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
Unleashed.
I mean, that's another in life is, yeah, just, I mean, well, you already said that, just being in your divine and kind of self-love and just loving others. It's like, it's fine that we disalign. It's fine that we're not friends
Yeah.
or whatever anymore, but just being in that love, it heals people and it moves people, even people who aren't comfortable with it.
Yeah.
It does something inside of them. They feel that electricity, they feel that vibration.
Yeah. And love gives you upgrades. That's our title of this podcast. I love that.
Love gives you upgrades. That
It
is good.
does. That
You
is good.
get into flow, and then you just the shit just comes out.
Right?
It's
It's like a download.
fantastic. Yeah.
Upgrade.
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 Like that.
This is the year of upgrades.
Well, it is upgrades and just enjoying the joyfulness. Just
Yeah.
enjoying everything. Well, thank you for coming on our podcast, Alicia. It's been fun.
Thanks for asking me the great questions. Making me think on the spot. I'm like, we didn't prepare for any of this. I was like, I don't know, we'll just see what comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, that's kind of how we do most things
That's
is
true.
pretty spontaneous. We're not really great planners,
No,
generally
you're better than
speaking.
me. I mean, I'll give you that. You plan way better than I plan. I'm like, I have the idea. Let's go. I don't know how we'll get there, but we'll figure it out.
I'm like, oh my God, get a map. Where are we? I'll hold us back because I'm like, I think we should think about this for a little while. And you're like, yeah, it's fine. Let's just go. That's true. Yeah. That's because I'm still in the box sometimes and you're running circles around the box. And I'm like, just come in the box for a few minutes and we'll talk about it.
Which is not a bad idea sometimes. Truthfully, it's a good idea once in a while to go in and be like, hang on. Okay, let's go.
Yeah. Does this align with me?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes. Truth.
Okay.
Truth.
Well, thank you for joining us again, our lovely audience, for another podcast.
Yes, we're back. We're back in action. Dana's finally almost healthy.
Almost. It's coming.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sending to your lungs. All the love.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. This was fun.
Happy birthday.
Thanks so much for joining us.
We're really glad you're here with us on this journey.
The best way to support this podcast is to subscribe and give it a 5-star review.
See you next time.
This has been a Bread Dog Studios production.